Let's go ahead and turn in the scriptures to Romans in chapter 6. And tonight we will be searching the scriptures to see what God has to say through Romans chapter 6. Now I want to give you just a little review of last week, what we had last week in chapter 5 of Romans. And it's in verse 20 at the end of the verse. And this is such a glorious truth in the Bible. And anyone here tonight that has come with a burden of sin in your life, you can rejoice in this verse. Rejoice. Where sin abounds, grace did much more abound. The grace of God is so big, so huge, so like an ocean around us, that if there's any sin, He just swallows it up and takes it away like an ocean. And that's what baptism's about. You go into the baptizing pool and you leave the sin under the water and you come up to walk in newness of life because of what Christ did. Where sin abounds, grace does much more abound. Now, this is a biblical truth, and most Christians have this down. We know this, and that's why we are joyful. We're joyful because we know our sin is washed clean, past, present, and future, because of Jesus. And so there's something else we need to know here in chapter 6, verse 1, as we start new ground now. What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid, the Apostle Paul says. And he says, how shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? Now this expression, God forbid, this is one of Paul's favorite expressions. He uses it 14 times in his letters, 10 times right here in the book of Romans. And actually this is one of the strongest Greek idioms or expressions. Putting down a statement for putting down a statement. One of the strongest things you can say in the Greek language to put down a statement. And it contains a sense of outrage that anyone would ever think the statement was true. That we should do more sin so grace should abound. Paul is just giving a very strong message. God forbid. May it never be. That's the way it's translated in some of your modern translations. May it never be. And he says it over and over again. Now, I'd like to share with you that there's another scripture that puts forth this same idea and maybe adds to what we're looking at to understand this a little better. So let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 6. Now, and that's after the book of Romans, 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 12. First Corinthians, it's right after Romans, and I'm still in Romans. I got to get moving here. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 12. Now it says here, all things are lawful unto me. Because I'm under the grace of God, all things are lawful to me. But all things are not helpful to my life. That's why God works with us on certain things that aren't helping our lives. All things are lawful unto me, but all things are not expedient or helpful. All things are lawful for me, but I will not be brought under the power of any. And so this is a bondage scripture. The Lord knows there's certain things in your life that if you continue in those things and go down that road, it becomes slavery for you. You become bound to this thing. For what, as we read in Peter a couple of weeks ago, for whatsoever is, how's it go? Whatsoever in a man's life that overcomes him, it becomes to him a slavery. It's actually a slavery. You know, I better look at that scripture with you real quick. Just keep your hands on 1 Corinthians. I'll make sure I quote this right. It's in Peter, 1 Peter. Whatsoever a man is overcome, that's it. It actually brings him into a slavery. I'm looking, it's driving me nuts now. Oh yeah, here it is. See, for of whom a man is overcome, of the same he is brought into bondage, or another translation, into slavery. Oh, and the Lord doesn't want you in slavery or in bondage. And so he really says, you know, this is something you need to deal with and something that needs to come out of your life. And so that's what this is about. And so all things are lawful, but I will not be brought under the power of any. If there's anything in your life that you find is taking over your life, it's just becoming like a god. It could be anything. I had a guy come up to me one day after a sermon, and he says, you know, the Lord showed me to give up tennis. And I'm thinking, that's crazy. Give up tennis? What's wrong with tennis? Everybody plays tennis once in a while. But for him, it had become a bondage. He wasn't home with his wife and his kids because he's playing tennis. And he wasn't getting his work done because he wanted to play tennis. And every time he got some free time, he didn't work with the kid on the garage or take the kid on a bike ride, but he went and played more tennis. And so he realized it had become a slavery in his life. He was just impassioned about tennis, and he needed to back off on that to actually live a real life as a family man. And think about his wife, think about his kids, think about the Lord, and not a tennis ball. So it can be anything, anything in our lives that overpowers us, that takes over all of our thinking and our passion. It can become like being in bondage to that thing. And so this is something God wants us to know about. And so he deals with these things and sees these things, yes, as the weights that weigh us down and the sin that does so easily beset us that we need to really deal with. So let's go back to Romans now. And this is what baptism is all about. Now the next thing that he talks about here in Romans 6 is baptism. It says here, know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death? Therefore we are buried with him by the baptism unto death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. For if we have been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall be also in the likeness of his resurrection, knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. So this is Romans chapter 6, verse 6 now. The old man, our old self, is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. Now this idea of being crucified with Jesus, you were actually there at the cross. You were actually there. I think of back in Isaiah chapter 49 where it says that, can a mother forget her child? And then the Lord says, she might, but I will not forget you. I have carved you on the palms of my hands. I have actually carved you on the palms of my hands. You were there when Christ died. And so our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. And this is what baptism represents. When you go down in the water, it's a watery grave. And I'd like to picture all the sins at that point under the water being washed away into the pool filter or out to the ocean. We're baptized in the ocean. And God is just taking away the old life, the old man. And he's then resurrecting us to walk in newness of life. And that's what it says in verse 4. Even so, we should walk in newness of life. So actually, Christ, when he went down to the cross, I mean, up to the cross, he actually pictures that in us going down in the water into a watery grave and then coming up to walk in this brand new life. All the old things are passed away. Behold, all things have become new. And it is an amazing thing when we're baptized, and I've seen so many baptized, that is just so precious, because you can see there's something different in that person. They've loved the Lord, they've been walking with him, they've decided to follow Jesus in water baptism, and Jesus said it's good that a person is baptized. When John the Baptist said, I should not baptize you, Lord, you should baptize me, he said, suffer it to be so now, for thus it becomes us to fulfill all righteousness. And there's something wonderful that happens to a person that identifies in the death of Christ, I am crucified with Christ, and then coming up out of the water is now ready to walk in a new life, and you can see it on their faces. It's really a beautiful experience we had here at the church not long ago. There was this man, his name was Bob. He'd been a Christian for years, but he'd never been baptized. He just kept putting it off, you know. And so one day, he decided to do it. And he was like a little kid that day, and he's in his 60s. And he came down to be baptized. We had the pool out here and set up and everything. And he just was so giddy about this baptism. And as he went down in the water, he was enjoying every second of it. You could see it in his life. And then he came up and was glowing. And it's just a beautiful work of God. And I could see it. And I thought, man, he's just so happy he finally did that, you know. He's making a commitment to the Lord to just say, you know what, my sins are washed away. And I believe that. I'm making a public confession of that right now. And he began to just walk with the Lord in just an even deeper way. Well, it was about a year later, and this same man came out to the baptism pool, but he wasn't coming out to be baptized because he was baptized the year before. But he ran up to the pool just as we were getting ready, and he came and looked at me, and he flicked some water at me and just smiled. And we didn't say a word. It's like we were just connecting. Him remembering his baptism and what God means by that in him walking in newness of life. And you know what? He went to work the next morning. And he dropped dead on his desk. And I thought, hallelujah. He was so ready. To join his Savior. It was such a neat experience for me, and I can't really put it in words, but I'm trying. But just that communication we had, never said a word. Yes, I was baptized. I'm ready. I'm flicking water at you. And now I'm going to go die. I'm going home to see Jesus. It was a very precious thing to me. And I just share that with you. But this is something that's very important to God. And he wants you to know that we should not ever think about continuing in sin. That we need to just get rid of it. Turn it over to him. Start walking that straight path, that straight and narrow with him. And that's what he has. And this is what baptism represents when a person is baptized. I'd like to tell you that the 16th of this month, what month is this? June? It's July. We've reached July, and I'm thinking it's June. It's July. But just in a couple of weeks here, the 16th of June, of July, at 1 o'clock, we're going to have another baptism. So if you haven't been baptized, you come on down. Come on in, the water's fine, and we'll get you baptized. But this is something that we do outwardly to share with what's happened to us inwardly when we come and confess our sins to Jesus Christ and really make a commitment to do all that we can to just walk away from sin and walk with Him. And we all know what those things that He deals with us about that we just need to put away, you know, that would bring us into bondage, into slavery, and walk away from those things and be a slave to Christ. And so we should walk in the newness of life. Our old man is crucified with Him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. Now I'd like to take you to another scripture on this. Let's go to Galatians 2:20. Galatians chapter 2 and verse 20. Now Galatians is further on than Romans, just a few books. It's not very far in the Bible. It's like just a few pages. But we get to Galatians and chapter 2 and verse 20. And it says right there, I am crucified with Christ. There's another verse that says you were there. He became sin on the cross. Your sin, my sin, past, present, and future. So I have died with Christ. I am crucified with Christ. Then it says, nevertheless, I'm still living. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave Himself for me. That's how I'm to live every day. The just shall live by faith. I believe God for the day. I believe Him that He'll show me the way. I believe that the next thing that I do has to be given to Him. And the decisions I make have to be made by Him. I belong to Him. I've been crucified with Him. I'm still alive though. But the life that I now live, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave Himself for me. And so I'm in Christ, as it says here. The life which I now live in the flesh, I live with Him. But Christ lives in me. That is just a huge privilege and a wonderful thing that happens to us every time we submit to Him. And it's awesome. These are great scriptures to learn and to take in. Now, as you begin to live in the life of Christ, as it says here, the life which I now live is in Christ and through Him, that is a beautiful day. It's a beautiful day. There's this song by Jamie Grace that I love, and I was going to ask our brother Charles to play that tonight, but I forgot to call him. So you're off the hook, bro. But it's such a great song. It's I don't know if you ever heard it. It's a beautiful day, she says. It's a beautiful day. I'm going to get my worship on. I love that one, that line. I'm going to get my worship on. It's a beautiful day. And when bugs fall on my windshields, it's just to exercise the windshield wipers and wipe them all away, talking about the trials of life and so forth. It's just a really neat song because she's praising God for a day and just walking in Him. And you know, the life with Christ is awesome. It is awesome, the life with Jesus Christ and what He can do with your day. Any day. And you know, we all have our trials, and we can all line up here at the pulpit and really tell some sad stories. But you know what? Jesus is above all that. He really is. And as we are praising Him and thanking Him and going on with whatever we have to face, because every one of us has to face things. You know, people sometimes say, Marcus, you know, you never have any problems. Hey, I lost my firstborn son. He's in heaven now, and I rejoice, but I did lose a son. And I've had cancer, and my wife has had cancer. Hey, we're still here, and we're praising God, and we're thanking Him. Yeah. You know, it's almost like you can name it, and I've done it. I've had it. But you know, we've been through a lot. And God has rescued us. And He will until it's your time to go home. And you know what? That's going to be a great day whenever that is. Because to live is Christ and to die is gain. It just gets better up there. So that's who we are. We don't concentrate on the hard times. We concentrate on Him. And we let Him live His life again through us. And it is the most beautiful thing. And the little things He does to say, I love you. Right now I'm thinking about salmon over vegetables, because that's the latest little blessing we got. We were down at the beach. We walked to the beach. We didn't want to use the car on the 4th of July, so we walked to the beach, and I got to go in the ocean. It was wonderful in there. And Sherry and I were thinking about a place to eat, but you know, we were on foot. So where do you go? You know, you just eat sand? What do you do? Anyway, so we're just walking, and we found a place we never knew was there. It's amazing. It was just a little strip mall on the way up the hill to our apartment. And it was a pizza place. And Sherry's allergic to bread, and she's allergic to, what else? Dairy. She can't do dairy. And she's thinking, we can't do pizza. But, you know, we'll just go in and you can get a piece of pizza. And they had salmon, grilled salmon, on top of vegetables. And we know who did that. That was the Lord giving her a hug and a kiss. And man, that was the most beautiful. I said, this is the most beautiful presentation. She couldn't decide what to eat first. She had the, you know, red peppers and all the stuff underneath this, just grilled salmon flat out. And I got a steak sandwich. I'll always take that first. But it was just a blessing of the Lord. And He was just making another beautiful day. He does stuff like that. I'm telling you, He's your best friend. He is your best friend. And He's always doing friendly things and rescuing you in ways that a lot of times we don't even stop to recognize. And it was such a blessing to watch her eat that first bite. She couldn't decide what to poke first, you know, she's going with her fork, like, finally got the red pepper. And I thought, wow, Lord, You're too much. And so that's the kind of thing God wants to do in your life. He wants to just love you and draw you closer to Himself and do His little miracles all along the way and then greet you home when it's time to go. And there's certain disciplines we go through, certain times of hardship, but we trust Him through those times. And we just wait. We wait for those times of refreshing from the presence of the Lord. And that's very scriptural. In the book of Acts, it actually says that. Those times of refreshing from the presence of the Lord. And so that's the life we want. And so, yes, we must be crucified with Christ, and we have been. And nevertheless, I live. I'm alive. But it's not I, but Christ lives in me, and the life which I now live in this flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave Himself for me. Praise the name of the Lord. Now, I want to get into, let's go back to Romans, because I want to get into sharing tonight with you from the scriptures right here that are next. Three ways to fight your part. We always wonder, where's the balance between God's part and my part? Okay, He saves me by grace, totally grace. I can't do a thing to make His salvation any greater because He did it all on the cross. And so I know that he doesn't want to be involved in sin, and my flesh is my greatest enemy. It's not like Flip Wilson used to say, the devil made me do it. Every man is led into sin as he's led away by his own lust. That's the bottom line, that the devil didn't make you do anything. God has given us the ability to say no through the blood of Jesus, because we're under grace. And we are empowered by the Lord Jesus Christ to say no. But we many times don't say no. But how do you work on that? I got three things for you tonight on working on your part of how to say no. So let's read. For he that is dead is freed from sin. Ever try to tempt a corpse? You know, the corpse isn't going to sin. Dead as a doornail. For he that is dead is freed from sin. Now if we be dead with Christ, we believe that we shall live with him, knowing that Christ, being raised from the dead, dies no more. Death has no more dominion or power over him. For in that he died unto sin once. But in that he lives unto God. Now this is the first thing. Likewise, you and I are to reckon you also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Now another translation, the NIV translation says, count yourselves to be dead to sin. So one thing that we bring up to the Lord, and I do this out loud, Lord, I'm dead to that. You died for that. And I am dead because I was crucified with you. It's something to say, and it's something for you to make a goal in your life. Recognize that you are dead to the things of this world. The things that tempt you, the things that draw you, that aren't of God. You say to him, Lord, I choose to draw near to you right now, and I reckon myself to be dead to that, because you died for it 2,000 years ago. And so something to remember to work on is to reckon yourselves to be dead to sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Now this is just letting us know, you don't try to drive the darkness out, you just turn on the light. So I'm dead to this, but I'm going to live with Christ. I remember, this is a real simple example, but it just meant a lot to me. My poor wife was sick, and she was in the hospital for a while and so forth, and going through a lot of stuff. And I went and saw an older man that I was in a prayer meeting with. We would pray early in the morning together. He was 50 years old. I was still in my 20s. I said, man, I'm just having a hard time with lust. And he says, Mark, he says, Jesus has given you Sherry, and she's going to be well in a while. You just save all of those desires up for her and just wait on the Lord. That was the best advice I ever got. Just transfer that passion to the person that God's given you. Man, this is crazy. Don't do this. And so, don't try to drive the darkness out. Just turn on the light. Reckon yourselves dead to the lusty part, the part that's not of the Lord. Walk away from it. Reckon yourselves to be dead. So that's number one. Number two is verse 12. Let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body, that you should obey it in the lust thereof. Now this word let, and I want to use another example of sin to actually expound this idea. Let not sin reign in your body. We have to have Jesus on the throne in our hearts, not the flesh. not my fleshly desires. The normal way to go is being led by your body. Underneath your body then would be your spirit, your soul, and then your spirit on the bottom. But God wants to flip that. He wants you to be led by the Spirit of God. And then underneath is your soul, and on the bottom is your body. That's why the Apostle Paul said in the Bible, we must learn how to keep our bodies under. Keep our bodies under. Under the leading of the Holy Spirit of God. And so it says here, let not sin reign in your mortal body. Now let's use the sin of worry here. Okay, the sin of no peace. I've got no peace, and I'm not accepting any peace because I'm born to worry, and that's what I do. I'm a worry wart. And so I don't need Jesus to say to me, peace I give to you, because I'm not receiving it. Now that is actually a place of sin. But let's take a look at what Jesus says about that, using this idea of let not. Let not. And so let's go to John chapter 14, verse 27. John 14, 27. Jesus says this to his disciples before he went to the cross. This is at the Last Supper. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you. Not as the world gives, I give it to you. So he's telling us that peace is a gift. We looked at this verse many times. It's a gift. And he wants to give that to you and take away all of the stress that make the lines on your forehead get thicker and deeper. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you, not as the world gives, I just give it to you. It's a gift. And look what he says next. Let not, there's something in your power. Don't you let your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. And so the Lord is letting you know, this is a choice you've got to make, and I've got to make. This is part of our part in going with this idea that I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I'm still alive. What do I do with that? Number one, like we said before, you just actually say that you're dead to the sin. And you let not your heart be troubled for the sin of worry, and neither let it be afraid. You need to talk to yourself. The scripture talks about David. King David actually came home to his hometown Ziklag at that time, and it was burnt to the ground, and they'd stolen his wife and his children. Imagine facing that. Your kids are gone, your wife is gone, and a bunch of mean guys took them and burnt your house to the ground. What do you do with that? Well, his men that were with him that also lost their wives and their kids, they cried until there wasn't any more tears left in them. And then they got ticked. And they started blaming David. So now you've got your men coming against you. You've lost your wife and your kids and your house. And now your best friend is turning on you. And all your friends want to kill you. They talked about stoning him. You know what the Bible says that David did? He encouraged himself in the Lord. This is chapter 30 of 1 Samuel. He encouraged himself in the Lord. Sometimes you just got to talk to yourself, man. You just got to say, you know what? I'm not going to let this happen again. I'm not going to get scared again. This time I'm trusting God. And I'm going to stand this ground. And that's what God wants you to do. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. look me square in the eyes, son or daughter, and believe me and trust me. Wait on the Lord again. I say wait, and he will strengthen your heart. He will strengthen your heart. And he will bring the deliverance you need. It's just the truth of it. And so, the second thing. We reckon ourselves to be dead to sin. I'm dead to this. I'm not going to worry about it, because I'm going to let not my heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Because Jesus has given me peace, and I'm going to receive that right now. These are all faith moves that we're talking about. So let's look at the third thing now. Let's go back to Romans. Romans chapter 6, and we read on, and it says in verse 13, neither yield or present your members or the parts of your body as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield or present yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and the parts of your body as instruments of righteousness unto God. There's a yielding. There's a surrender. There is a presentation that God wants you to make. And that is to present yourself to him. So, number one, you reckon yourself to be dead. You're just dead to it. That's all. Can't do this. That's a decision you make before the temptation even happens. You decide in your heart that you're going to be true to your wife. You decide in your heart that you're never going to be drunk again. You decide about these things, and then you take moves towards them. And you reckon yourselves to be dead to it. And you let not the sin get in. You just don't let it happen. You make no provision for the flesh. The scripture says, put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh. I learned that very early. Again, this was in my 20s when Sherry and I were first married, that I could not go to liquor stores to buy bread because there was too much pornography in laying out there. I couldn't do it. And so I remember the scripture that God just said, don't make any provision for the flesh. When Sherry asks you to go get milk, you go to Ralph's, dude, and that's all you can do. You can't stop at the corner liquor store. You cannot do it. And there's things in your life that God might say, you've got to dump this, man. I love that movie. Which one was that? Courage or Courageous? The name of that movie, the one where the guy actually had a problem with pornography on the internet, and he ended up taking it outside on the lawn and taking a sledgehammer to the computer. What's that? Fireproof. It's a good movie, great movie. But he actually ended up just bashing up the computer. Now, I can't do that because my wife's computer is sacred, but you know what? I don't know her password, and I'm proud of it. I do not know her passwords on the computer. When she's gone, I have no danger, because I have no idea how to get on the computer. I just don't, and I've made that choice. Now, some of you have to work on a computer, so you got to be a little more ingenuous. There was one pastor at a pastor's conference that got up and said, my assistant pastor is the one that knows the password to my computer. And so when I get to the church and I'm getting on my computer, my assistant pastor has to come in and type in the password, and then he stands there and watches what I'm doing. Hallelujah. You got to do what you got to do, man. You got to do what you got to do. To say, you know what? I am dead to this. This is a dead thing in my life. And I'm not letting sin reign in my body anymore. It's over. Sin, it's over between us. And you can get mad about it too. It's good. Good to get angry. righteous anger, man. Not going to do this anymore. And you walk. You walk on it, man. And then the last one, as we're looking at right now, is you present yourself to the Lord. And man, that's the most fun of all. To just get wildly abandoned to the will of God. And the things that God will do will blow you away. Or blow you closer to Him. He just becomes such a good friend and companion. And so He's saying, look, you're not going to save yourself. There's no way. You're going to make mistakes. But you got to just let me pick you up and dust you off and put you back on the right road and begin to say these things that you're dead to sin. I'm dead to that. I reckon myself to be dead to that, but alive to God. And I'm not going to let this thing reign in my heart. I'm going to hold on to you, Jesus. I'm going to present myself to you. I'd like to give this to you in a couple of verses that are in Romans. Let's go to Romans chapter 12. And it's just very clear here what these things I'm trying to share with us right now are just so very true. It says here in chapter 12 of Romans, this is actually one of the verses that really God used to save Sherry, my wife. I beseech you therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, that you present or yield your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Another translation says your reasonable service of worship is to present your whole body to the Lord like a living sacrifice. And then verse 2 says, be not conformed to this world, but be transformed, how? By the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. When somebody looks at your life, they know what the perfect will of God is in you, because you've been submitted to the Lord, and you become a blessing to those around you. The transformation takes place in your mind, that you might be transformed by the renewing of your mind, the things you think about. You know, I had the choice this morning. I can only give examples from my own life, you know, about these things, but anyway, this morning, temptations to think bad things, but in the afternoon, I knew I had an appointment with the people that are going to be coming to set up a school here in the fall. And that is a good thing to think about. My mind was renewed by saying, Lord, I'm presenting myself to you. Help me, Jesus, away from this, and help me to think about that. And it was the most glorious meeting today with these beautiful Christians coming that are going to be bringing a school to us from kindergarten to 12th grade, and just talking to them about the rooms and how they're going to divide the rooms and make more places for different classes, and how the computer lady came and how she's going to set up the computers. And my wife was buzzing around and talking about different things that will be happening with the computers. And it was just a blessed time in the Lord. And those are the things we just turn our minds to. We turn our minds away from this other garbage. And if we begin to get in wrong thinking patterns and so forth, you just turn to the Word of God. You just open the Bible and you begin to just think about the things that you can do to help your mother. You know, I'm just coming out of space now with different things. My mom's in heaven, but things that you can do to help your children, your family, your co-workers, how you can bless somebody. And man, those are the things that just roar with beauty. And they just lift you out of all that scum and scuzz and the things that the devil wants to get involved with us. So I hope this is helpful to you. Reckon yourselves to be dead to sin. Let not the sin remain. Let not your heart be troubled to not receive the peace of Jesus. And don't present the members of your body, it says members there, but it's really the parts of your body, to unrighteousness, but present yourself to God. And as you do that, it's a reasonable service of worship to Him. You're worshiping Him to present yourself to Him. And He will transform your mind by giving you way better things to think about and things you ought to think about. I remember Charles, when I got to ask Charles to help me with the radio program that we were going to do in Hawaii. He said, ever since I was a teenager, I wanted to work with a radio show. And he got involved with the people in Hawaii. And, you know, I had no idea how you send programs to Hawaii. I just thought, you know, do you put it on a boat? You know, I don't know. But Charles has got this computer thing that I don't even understand. A lot of you probably do. Where he says, I've been doing this for years, Mark. And he can send these programs, you know, through the space of the cloud or whatever, over there to Hawaii. We don't even have to mail CDs over there. He just uses the cloud and zip, my program's over there in 3 seconds or whatever it takes. And it's just amazing. And Charles knew all this stuff. And God knew Charles knew that. And God knew that Charles would be blessed to be involved in a radio program. And he's the announcer on our radio program. And announces that this is coming from Anaheim, California. And he doesn't say this is Charles. But he does come up with some neat things. Like he calls the people Ohanas. I think that means family, doesn't it? Something like that in Hawaii. But he says, may you and your Ohana be blessed with this program. I thought that's so sweet. It's cute. Anyway, what a blessing for our brother back there. God did that for him. And it's just amazing. You begin to just get out of the trash can and get into the things of the Lord and what God can do with you. You know, I think of my brother Dan here. He's got all involved with the homeless. He's just got this burden. And Brian also. And both of them shared with me this week. Well, you shared it in prayer tonight, but Brian shared the other night that the county's getting involved now with the homeless. And that is a awesome ministry. And that is a great thing that's going on through the Lord. That's a renewing of the mind. It's taking a person that used to just think about whatever, and all kinds of bad stuff goes through all of our minds. We have to rebuke those things. Reckon ourselves to be dead to them. Don't let them stay. And present your bodies to the Lord and see what He will do with you. That's the exciting part. Here I am, God. Do what you want. And it's not long before something really wonderful begins to happen in your life that you never thought could. You just didn't know that you could be on such a learning process and such an intimate relationship and walking side by side and step by step with the Lord Jesus Christ and getting His plan for you. You're no different than anyone else. You are you. And God loves you personally and has a personal plan for your life. And it's just the most wonderful thing to just walk toe by toe with Jesus. Brother Marvin, when he was here, he used to march down the hall with me. He says, you know, this is the way we used to do this in the Army, Mark. He says, march with me. And I've never been in the Army. I flunked out of Vietnam. They took me to the induction center and then sent me home, which I will be honest, I did not cry on the way home. But Marvin got me marching through the back He says, okay, left, right, left, right. We'd be coming down the hall, and all the kids maybe thought we were nuts, but left, right, left, right. But see, my brother Marvin was really close to me, and I kind of looked at him as a father. And, it's the way it is with the Lord. He just wants to march with us every day. And the devil has a stinking plan for you every day. I want to just make your mind a cesspool. I just want to put all the evil thoughts in your mind that I can gather together. These are fiery darts from the wicked one. And above all, we're supposed to take the shield of faith, which is able to quench all the fiery darts of hell. All of them. We can quench them through using the shield of faith. And that's what this is. This is a vivid description, nut and bolt description of the shield of faith. You reckon yourself to be dead. That's an act of faith. That's using the shield of faith. You let not sin reign in your... It's an act of faith. I'm not going to let this happen. And yield or present yourself to God. That is certainly 100% faith. Because you are presenting your life to God. And you're saying, God, I believe you. That's faith. That's the shield of faith. I believe that you've got a way better plan for my brain to renew my mind than what the devil is telling me right now and wants me to get into. These lusts war against our soul. That's where the battle is. That's what it says in the Bible. Lust, war against your soul. You're in a fight. The spirit lusts against the flesh, and the flesh lusts against the spirit, because the two are contrary one to another. There was this story I heard years ago that a preacher went preaching. He was an itinerant preacher through the Old West, and he came across the Indian tribe, and this one Indian man accepted Jesus as his Savior. And the man came back a few years later to see how everyone was doing, and came up to the old Indian and says, what have you learned from Jesus since you accepted him? And he says, I've learned that there's two dogs that are fighting in me. And I found out that the dog that wins is the dog you feed. That's so heavy. Just think about that. As you're in the Word, you're feeding yourself the Word of God. And you're here tonight. Nobody's here by accident tonight. And you are being fed the Word of God, spoon by spoon. And you're feeding the right dog. Because the spirit lusts against the flesh, and the flesh against the spirit. And the two are contrary one to another. But the one that's going to win is the dog you feed. Now, if you were home tonight watching R-rated movies, who's going to win? The flesh, man. But if you're here and you're listening to the Word of God, who's going to win? The spirit. Your spirit will be lifted up. You feel a new cleanliness. You feel a new vibrancy to go on with the Lord, to walk with Him. And as you read your own Bible, you learn how to read your own Bible in the morning. That's when it really gets good. Because you know what? God will speak to you in the morning about what's going to happen to you in the course of a day. Oh, yeah. You got to very carefully look at what those words are when you read your Bible in the morning and receive the peace that God brings you from those words. And if He warns you about something, you know that that warning is for something that will come your way. And He gets real personal about it. And it's awesome, because you are living inside Jesus Christ, and Jesus Christ is inside you. Well, let's go ahead and finish Romans 6 now. Am I getting too late? No, got the time. Let's read it. So it says after the yield scripture, verse 14, for sin shall not have dominion or power over you. If you walk with Jesus, the sin will not have power over you. You do not have to sin. With every temptation, he will provide a way of escape, and you use it, and you call on his name. For sin shall not have dominion over you, for you are not under the law, but you're under grace, the grace of God in Christ. What then? Shall we sin because we are not under the law but under grace? God forbid. There it is again. Let it never be. Know ye not to whom you yield yourselves servants to obey, his servants you are to whom you obey, whether of sin unto death or of obedience unto righteousness. But God be thanked that you were the servants of sin, and all of us were. We were all servants of sin. But you have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered unto you. Being then made free from sin, you became the servants of righteousness. Jesus Christ, when he died on the cross, made you free from sin. Sin does not have power over you. And you should write that down somewhere and carry it with you. Sin does not have power over you. Verse 14 again, the first part. Sin shall not have dominion or power over you. Verse 19, I speak after the manner of men because of the infirmity of your flesh. For as you have yielded your members servants to unrighteousness and to iniquity unto iniquity, even so now yield your members, your different parts of your body, servants to righteousness unto holiness. For when you were the servants of sin, you were free from righteousness. What fruit had you then in those things whereof you are now ashamed? Boy, that's a good question, isn't it? How well did it go for you when you were in sin? What kind of fun was that? Oh, man. Sherry and I saw these two poor girls on the 4th of July. They were, you know, high on whatever those poor kids are taking today. But I mean, it was so pathetic as they ran into the water in little tiny bikinis, you know, but they ran into the water and they thought they were so whatever, being big girls. But then they could not stand up. And this one girl was struggling and the lifeguard had to come down and help her stand up. And she began to lose her top and she was so embarrassed and all the young boys were coming down the rocks to help her or look at her, whatever, you know, but it was just the most pathetic thing. And, you know, probably we can remember experiences that we had that were just absolutely embarrassing when we were living lives of sin and all puffed up and doing all the dumb things people do. What fruit had you then in those things whereof you are now ashamed? For the end of those things is death. That's where that goes. And Sherry was really hoping that one girl would not die because she was so uncontrollable with whatever drug she was taking. But now, being made free from sin and become servants to God, you have your fruit unto holiness and the end everlasting life. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. It's a gift. He's a gift. And he freely gives himself to us. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Let's pray together. So, Father, we thank you, Lord, for the sixth chapter of Romans, Lord, and it's just very instructive, Father, for us. And, Lord, we see faith again in action, to reckon, to let not, to present ourselves to you. Jesus, Jesus, help us with these things, Lord. We want to live this way, for we know that you have a much better plan than we do. And that your plan can unfold in our lives, Lord. Day by day, week by week, month by month, year by year. Until, Lord, we're transformed to glory with you. So we thank you, Father. Thank you so much, Jesus. In Jesus' name, Amen. Amen. If you would love to have some prayer tonight, there's something that's been eating at you and you just want to let it go. And you just want to get right with Jesus and walk with Him and talk with Him and be His friend. He says, I no longer call you servants, I call you friends if you do whatsoever I tell you to do. And that is just the truth of it, you know. How can two walk together unless they be agreed? And so Jesus calls us to Himself for this reason. So if you need prayer tonight, we want to pray with you. Dan and Becky will be in the prayer room. They're great prayer warriors. And so come on over to the prayer room. God bless you guys. And may the Lord just continue to love you closer to Him every single day of your life. May you discover the abundant living in Jesus Christ. May you just get clear of all that stuff that'll just take you down. So God bless you and keep you in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 Praise the Lord.